It's indeed another wonderful occasion that we have been blessed by Almighty God to be able to assemble here tonight as we get ready to look into another portion of His most holy and divine word. And I'm sorry about the rain, but it didn't stop you all from appearing here tonight. So we're glad to have you in our attendance. We have visitors. We're glad to have you as well. And we hope that this lesson that we study tonight will be edifying to everyone. It's dealing with hand clapping and worship. Our brethren today are following the innovations of denominational churches today. And what they are doing is they are doing things that are not scriptural in the sight of God. In the text that I chose to read, that I love to use during this meeting, is 2 John 9. And those of you who are familiar with God's word, know that that text says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God." He that abideth in the doctrine, that is the teaching of the New Testament, the teaching of God, have both the Father and the Son. A lot of our brethren today don't have God in their lives. They may think they do, but if they are adding or subtracting from God's word and not following the teaching of the New Testament, then of course they're not pleasing God. And so we want to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God. So we're going to look at this subject tonight, dealing with hand clapping and worship. This is one of those innovations that is coming from the denominational churches today. The Lord's church is not to involve themselves in such because we have no scriptural authority for it. We still need to speak as the Bible speaks and be silent when the Bible is silent. Some of our brethren have gotten away from that today, but we need to go back to it if we want to please the Lord. And so this is the script that I use for the title for our lessons. I'm going to talk a little bit about hand clapping and worship. This is something that is important because a lot of our brethren are doing it now. Don't be surprised if you read about it or hear about it or go on the internet. As a matter of fact, if you have computers, take some time this week to punch in hand clapping and then watch what it shows you, how it has Church of Christ doing it now. But notice where it started that. It didn't start with the Lord's church. It started with denominationalism, and it is still going on right now. So let's see what God's word has to say concerning this subject. I changed a few things around, but I forgot to ask my wife to put the little chip in and do it all over for me again. I forgot. So I hope that you'll be able to see everything clearly here tonight. And if not, you can just listen to the things that are going to be said. But let's talk about innovation. I thought it'd be good to mention a couple of things about it. You notice innovation has been around. It is defined as the introduction of something new, a new idea, methods, or device. That's what Webster says on page 624. When we consider, that is, we as Christians, when we consider the great number of innovations being fostered by denominational churches today, and not the Lord's church, but even some in the Lord's church, we realize these are nothing but descendants, just like those that Paul talked about in Acts chapter 17. When Luke wrote about them in Acts 17 and verse 24. And if you're not familiar with that text, I'm going to read it for you. Acts 17 and verse 21. It says all the Antithenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing but what? In either to tell or to hear some new thing. Well, that's what some of our brethren are getting into today. And, of course, the new things are what's going to cause a problem with brethren when it comes to the Lord. We need to always remember that innovations have always been face the church. They always been. Paul and them had to deal with things that were false and preach that which is truth in the sight of God. So we're going to have to deal with this for the rest of our days on earth. But we need to know what the Bible says, and we need to be able to go to the Bible to prove all things. And that's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 teaches us to do. We are to test the spirits, try the spirits, see whether they are God. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. There are issues that must be faced head on. And they are of great interest for us when it comes to the truth. Now look at Galatians 2 and verse number 5 and listen at what Paul says in this text. This is Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Of course, Paul was dealing with the Judaizer teachers here in this book, chapter. And in chapter 2, verse number 5, the text says, "To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue in you." We must defend the gospel of Christ. And so when brethren are teaching things that are not scriptural, we need to stand strong on the truth and be willing to stand for it and prove what we are doing is from the scriptures. So let us notice some things I want to talk about here, dealing with some new things that our brethren are getting into. Now, Jude 3 tells us to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And that's what we need to do as Christians. So let's notice the first thing I want to mention here in this lesson. Let's talk about hand clapping in worship for a second here. I have heard of it. I have seen it with my own eyes. I know it does happen. Some of you may not never seen it before, but I have. And it is a shame when you visit a congregation, when you're sitting in there, and the preacher gets up and talks for a few minutes, and everybody start clapping their hands. And then when they make announcements, they clap their hands. And when they baptize people into Christ, they clap their hands. Or some kind of celebration that goes on, they clap their hands. Well, we don't have no scriptural authority for those things because we don't read of it of any of the New Testament churches that were established by Paul and others. They never did that. And so if we're going to follow their example, we're going to have to realize that we don't have no scriptural authority for that. But that is what some brethren are doing. When it comes to the addition of hand clapping, doing worship to God, let us heed the warning that we read about in Proverbs. I love this text, by the way. I put it up here so you can see it. And I believe this is something we need to keep in mind. It says, my son, fear thou Jehovah the King, company not with them that are given to what? Change. And that's the warning we need to heed today. It was written for our learning, according to Romans 15:4. So we can learn from this text that we don't want to bring in any change agents. But that's what some of the brethren are doing today, and it is a shame. So let's get deep in this lesson here. The next thing I want to mention here is the origin of hand clapping. How did it get started? Where did it come from? Let's take a look and see what God's word has to say. I believe it came from Pentecostal churches. Our brethren today are mimicking the Pentecostal churches and the Baptists and many other denominational churches today. And you've seen that through this whole week. Hand clapping, praise teams, things like that. No scriptural authority for it. But we get it from denominational churches, and I would not stop saying it because that is true. Entertainment, we got that from denominational churches as well. We watch them entertain and do the things they do with the music and with the choirs and the chorus and all of that. And we listen at them, and we kind of like join in with them. Remember I told you about what was written in the Old Testament, of course, about how that the Israelites wanted to mock the other people. They want to be like the other nations. And, of course, that brought nothing about but sin. So it's mostly dealing with entertainment, you ask me. All of us have been, you know, as you can see here, been conditioned for entertainment. How many of you here don't like entertainment? Most of us do like entertainment. We like to watch television. We probably like to watch the news, watch certain programs that come on. If they're decent and clean, we might like to hear music. We might like to go to the movies. We might like to go to the fair, things like that. We like to be entertained. But entertainment has its place and purpose. It is not the work of the church to entertain anyone. But this is what some of our brethren are doing today. Movies and television have been brought about because of entertainment. And it has brought it to a sophisticated form today when you think about it. They hold our attention with little or no effect in our past. That's what happens. It's a fact that men love entertainment, sports, and singing and dancing. As I mentioned earlier, we like that. We are entertaining people. We like to be entertained. But as I mentioned, where do you read of any of the churches that Paul wrote letters to where they ever did that? You never read of it. You never read because it's not in the New Testament. Let's notice something else, hand clapping and applause, because this is what's going on. Now, some of you here probably never seen it before. Some of you told me, well, I never heard a lesson on praise teams before. Well, I hope that I help you. And then someone said, I never heard anything on hand clapping. Well, let's just see how hand clapping comes about. These take place at various times, and this is the best I can come up with on this subject. They clap during the sermon. They clap during baptism. Sometimes worship activities, they will clap their hands. And when I seen it happen the first time, it shocked me. When I heard brethren clapping in the audience, I was shocked. I never seen that before. I didn't become a member of the Lord's Church to do that. I thought that when you left denominationalism, you left all that behind. But then I saw brethren doing it. And if you never seen it before, it would do something to you. Because it's something that God did not authorize. the purpose of applause. What's the purpose of applause? If you went somewhere right now and you went to, just say, some sporting event, and you start clapping your hands, what is the purpose of you clapping your hands at that sporting event? Which you can do, by the way, because I'm not saying you can't do that. But what is the purpose behind it? Well, it is to indicate personal approval. We applaud those who perform for us. Appreciation is shown for what he has done or what she has done, and that's the reason we do it. And now our brethren are doing it even today. It is an expression of excitement because people get excited. None of these purposes of applause are authorized actions in our worship to God because they are not authorized by God. Applause, by its nature, draws attention to the performer, doesn't it? You ever seen candidates who are running for office? They'll say something, and then if they don't get applause, they just look for a couple seconds. And then the people start, oh, and then they notice, then they start clapping for them, you know. Or they'll, you know, what's the purpose behind that? It's to draw attention, get their attention. And not only that, but the person who's performing gets the attention. And it should never be done when it comes to the Lord's work. Well, when it comes to applause, is there a command for it? No. I remember in a gospel meeting when I was in, I can't remember what part of Texas it was from, but I had a gospel meeting at I preached for a liberal church, as a matter of fact, for a whole week. They let me stay there a whole week and preach for them. The preacher wasn't happy. He sat right on the front bench, and he said, y'all the one invited them. And so I just kept right on preaching. I was preaching on remarriage and divorce and making everybody mad and got women crying in the audience and everybody getting upset. But they kept me there for a whole week and paid me after that, too. But one of the questions that I was asked was, is it scriptural to clap your hands in worship service? And boy, that, you know, like Don, you know, he used to doing a radio broadcast. And sometimes those things can catch you. You got to think. But for that one, you don't have to think long because where do we have a scriptural example of anyone clapping their hands in worship service? So that one was pretty easy. But I needed some scriptural proof to show them it could not be proved for the New Testament. So I had to call a preacher friend of mine and ask him to take his concordance and look up hand clapping. He said, the only thing you're going to find is that in the Old Testament. And that did it for me. So I came back the next day and answered that question from the Bible. And I hope that was enough for that young man at the time. But does Acts 20:7, when we read that text, it said they were gathered together to break bread and do applause? No, they didn't do that. Nope. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, when they were singing hymns in that text, it said the brethren were teaching them and one another, but they were applauding one another, applauding, clapping their hands. No, you won't see it there either. What about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, pray without ceasing. Does it say pray and clap your hands without ceasing? No. That's an act of worship, by the way. We don't see that. That Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God in applause, and him only shalt thou receive a standing ovation? Nope. Did Jesus ever get a standing ovation? Never read of it in the New Testament. Never read of it in the four Gospels. Did Paul get a standing ovation when he preached and taught? Nope, he did not. So where does it come from? It comes from denominational churches. That's where it comes from. And that's why it is a sin in the sight of God. No applause in worship has no approval from God because we don't have what? Book, chapter, and verse to back it. And you'll hear me say that over and over. So when it comes to applause, is there a command? Well, Christ posed an interesting question in Matthew 21:25. He said, the baptism of John, whence was it from, heaven or men? Well, he trapped them. They were trapped. If they went one way, he would have got them. If they went another way, he would have got them. So they really were trapped. They didn't know how to answer that. Well, is clapping hands of God or of man? Let us pose the same query to those advocating this perversion today. Is it from God or men? Well, it is not of God. Therefore, that makes it of men. And it's not of God. What New Testament passage will you offer in defense of this innovation? There's none. There's none. Do we have direct statement? Do we have implications somewhere? Do we have approved apostolic example? No, we do not. We have it for the Lord's Supper. We have it for giving. We have it for attending worship, for buying a building, for not doing several things. We have these three things, but we most definitely don't have it when it comes to worship service. So you can see how you how it's just circling around, and it's not going anywhere, and there's no scriptural authority for it. And then I ask this here, where is the authority from heaven that applause and hand clapping in worship has God's approval? There's none. There is none, brethren. So our brethren who are doing this, they are sinning against God. Right? Now, it's amazing how these brethren would tell a Baptist, a Methodist, some other denominational person, if you don't become a member of the Lord's church, you're going to burn and be lost in hell. Well, what about this that they're doing when it comes to clapping their hands and giving the standing ovations and things like this? There's no scriptural authority for it, and they're doing it. Well, they're in the same boat as those who they're teaching when it comes to denominationalism, about the same. And then let's notice something else here. When it comes to applause, it's approved by divine law. You see that all of it sound about the same. But it's something we need to recognize. And so I put in my notes, it's not likely that this innovation has introduced to the Lord's church because brethren spent time searching it. They have not been spending any time examining it. That's why we have a problem today. Brethren are getting to the point now where they say, we don't need book, chapter, and verse for everything. We do whatever makes us happy. God will just take it. He'll accept it. He loves us. He won't punish us. We're offering this up to him. No. When you're clapping your hands, you're not offering up to God. You're offering it to the person who's getting attention. Not for God. If it was for God, they wouldn't be doing it in the first place. So it's not for God. It's for entertainment only, like so many other innovations. It was borrowed from who? From denominationalism. My mother used to say this a long time ago, and I think I need to use this. My mother used to say, son, if you borrow something, make sure you return it. They need to return this false teaching back where it came from, because it is not of God. It is of the world. It is the teaching and doctrines of men. It has nothing to do with the law of Christ. And it's hard to get brethren to understand that whosoever transgresseth, go beyond, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, that's his teaching. You know, Christ have a law, you know. That's the New Testament. Look at Galatians chapter 6 right quick. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6. I love using this text here. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. Because we know the time when we turn to Galatians chapter 6, we talk about brethren overtaken in the fault. And we talk about bearing one another's burdens. But there's something else you need to recognize in verse number 2 that sometimes we kind of read over. Listen, bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the what? The law of Christ. Does the Christ have a law? Yes, he does. It's the New Testament. Look at 1 Corinthians 9 in verse 21, and then I get back to the lesson. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:21, and listen at what it says, the law of Christ. It says in that text, to them that are without law as without law, being not without the law of God, but under the what? Law of Christ. And if you don't abide in his doctrine, you don't have God or the Savior, Jesus Christ, according to 2 John 9. So that's why I use the word denominationalism, because that's where it comes from. Everything I've been saying this week starts with denominationalism. Our brethren now are abusing the Lord's Supper. You know, in certain places now, some of our brethren now don't take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. They take it on Thursday night. They'll say something like, we'll take it Saturday night because Sunday morning I'm not going to be at church, so we'll take the Lord's Supper Saturday night. Now, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Knowing that he tells us to do it on the first day of the week. I have a sermon on that. That's one of those innovations that I have, but I can't bring that sermon because I only have one more to go. That's tomorrow. But that's another sermon I have, how they are taking the Lord's Supper any day now. It doesn't matter. Even at weddings now, they'll take the Lord's Supper at weddings. Can you imagine that? I read it, saw it. That's what some are doing today. Well, let's notice something else here. Many search for divine law to try to justify the use of hand clapping. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some texts that they use to try to justify clapping their hands in worship service. Let's look at some of these. Now, let me go back because I think I need to mention some here. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto men, but all the ways of death, right? And Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 tells us man cannot direct his own steps. They're trying to do it, but they cannot direct their own steps. And so there's no scriptural authority outside of God's law when it comes to these things. So let's talk about when it comes to applause. Does God receive the praise? That's a good one, isn't it? Because they call themselves offering up these hand claps to God. But really now, I'm telling you, they're not offering them up to God. They're offering them to the person who's doing the speaking or leading the singing or preaching the sermon. They're not up to God. But they will tell you that they're for God. Let's notice some things here that I put on. Here's one here. All praise, glory, and honor is due to who? It's due to the Lord. Now, I won't read all these texts, but one that we need to read, and I want you to turn to this one. Just turn to Psalm 150. I noticed this today when I was doing a little Bible reading, and I count how many times the word praise is used in Psalms 150. It is used 13 times. The word praise is used 13 times in Psalm 150. And it doesn't take long to read it because it's only six verses. But I want you to notice where the praise belongs. It don't belong to man. It belonged to God Almighty, not to man. And listen at this psalm real quick. Listen, 13 times now. Praise you the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel dance. And praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals, and it goes on and on. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Who is supposed to be praised from that text? The Lord, not man. And that's exactly what they are doing. They are praising men by clapping their hands. Right now, so I know you ain't going to do it, but suppose 10 of you in here start clapping your hands all of a sudden. I know it ain't going to happen, but suppose you did. You think you're praising God by doing that? No, you're giving praise to me. Keep on preaching, Brother Carver. You're doing a wonderful job. Amen. You know, that'll never happen here because it is not scriptural. That's why. Revelation 19:5, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, it says. What did Paul and Silas do in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25? They sang and they did what? Praise the Lord. Look at the text. That's Acts 16 and verse 25. That's what they did in the Roman dungeon. You notice they didn't praise one another. They praised the Lord. So there's no such thing as praising God with hand clapping. We're not authorized to do that. And he's not the one that gets it anyway, as I mentioned. Surely we can see from these scriptures that praise and glory and honor is all due to Jehovah God, not to man. The real crux, the innovation of hand clapping, it boils down to simply this. The praise by men. That's what it boils down to. Look at John chapter 12 and verse number 43. John 12 and 43. We have to make sure that when we do things, it is according to the word of God without any addition or subtraction like many of our brothers are doing today. If you have it, I'm going to read it. John chapter 12 and verse number 43 says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Well, who is he talking about? He's talking about those chief rulers there. Look at verse 42. It said, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So did the scribes and Pharisees, too, in Matthew chapter 6. That's what they wanted. That's why they offered up those prayers, loud prayers and many words they use to draw attention to themselves. I remember, I won't use this, but it might fall in place. We went to some restaurant, and some fellow was in there praying. I guess he wanted attention, so he was praying loud. I almost turned around and told him, man, shut up, man. I'm trying to eat. Because he was praying loud, Lord, thank you for the trees. Lord, thank you for the season. And I was just trying to get attention to himself. And I almost tell him, be quiet, I'm here to eat. I want to hear that. Of course, I was going to pray too, but not to get attention, of course, you know. But these are what people do, just offering praise to themselves, getting the praise of men. Why are men not content with God's simple plan of salvation, God's plan of worship, God's plan for the church? They all think they have a better deal. They all think they have a better idea. They think they can do it better than the Lord. And that's where the addition and subtraction comes in at. And that's when people get in trouble with God. Worship is not designed for our personal entertainment. That's what some people think. That's why they do these things they do. We come together to worship God, to reverence Him, and to give praise unto Him through songs and that we sing and prayer and studying His word. We just did it a second ago through prayer. We're going to do it a minute or two through songs. But no one deserves those praises except God. And so I ask the question, when it comes to applause, does God receive the praise? No, He does not. They do, not Him. Let's notice hand clapping accompanies singing. This is what I was talking about. This is what I was talking about when I saw it myself. God authorized one specific type of singing that we know about in the New Testament. And you can read in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 24 that, and I believe that it's saying that when we sing, we need to understand what we are singing, and we need to have the right attitude when we are singing. You can sing a lie, too. We sing a song like, I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day, but don't come to the assembly. Don't read God's word. Don't live the Christian life. And we can sing a lie. So we have to make sure that when we sing, we understand what we're saying. In this text, it says in verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing. And that word salo is used there for sing, by the way, with the spirit. And I will sing salo with an understanding also. Need to make sure we know what we're doing. Then in Ephesians 5:19, we're familiar with this one. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. But for the benefit of those who may not be members of the Lord's church, I'll read the text. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. And by the way, when it says speaking to yourselves, that means telling one another or talking to one another or uttering words together. That's why we don't have no solo team. That's why we don't have any group singing, because we have no scriptural authority for it. Everyone must participate in the singing. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to worship God and to build one another up through songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Colossians 3:16 is the parallel scripture to this text. And it says in Colossians 3:16, and I know some of you are quite familiar with it, but I need to read it. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, that's what we need to do as Christians. And then I have another scripture I want to use. I'm using music here. And this is not instrumental music, by the way. That's not what I'm talking about. There are two subcategories that fall under this. Number one is vocal singing, which is communicable and with a message when we sing. The other one is non-vocal. That's mechanical instruments of music, which we have no authority for when it comes to New Testament worship today. No authority for that at all. And we need to recognize what the scriptures say. Singing is what God authorizes. This kind, He authorizes vocal music that communicates a message. And that message is for edifying and building up. Our brethren today are singing to entertain the audience. They are not singing to grow or learn. They are singing just to entertain. I know about it because I was involved in it for years before I finally came to the knowledge of truth. So you want to talk to someone that knows about it, ask me. I know about it. I've seen the group singing. I was part of it. I was part of the entertainment. I even did a play one time in the church building, believe it or not. They asked me, they told me, you play the devil part. Uh-oh, that let me know I got to get rolling. They said, you play the devil part. So I put on the devil costume, so did with the horns and the pigtail and running through the building. Fell down in the pen that was holding the tail on, popped loose, and hit me somewhere where it wasn't supposed to hit at. And I was really running through the building. But where's the scripture authority for that? There was no scripture authority for that. That's not the work of the church. That's just entertainment. No scripture authority whatsoever. Let's quickly get through this here. Let's look at some defenses. Oh, hand clapping right quick. Number one is authorized. They'll say they did it in the Old Testament. They sung praise to God in the Old Testament. They clapped their hands in the Old Testament. So we should be able to do it in the New Testament. No. They'll use Psalm 47 in verse number 1. You don't know what it says? Well, let's turn there and look at it. This is one of the texts that they use. Psalm 41. And you can see the verse on there. That's 47, excuse me. 47 in verse number 1. And look at the verse right quick. Now, this doesn't really fit, but look, notice. It says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with the voice of a trumpet." See, they'll use that and say, well, that showed that they were clapping their hands under the Old Testament. Well, here's another one. 2 Kings chapter 11, and you look at verse number 12 there in that text. These are just scriptures that I heard used to try to justify you clapping your hands in worship service, which we don't have no scripture authority for in the first place. Some of you are already there, so let me quickly get it here because I only have a few more minutes to go. In verse 12 of that chapter, it says, "And he brought forth the king's son and put a crown upon him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and they anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, God save the king." Does that sound like they're worshiping God there? Can you use that text to justify clapping your hands in worship service today? There's Isaiah 58, 12. But then I made this point. Notice that all these scriptural references, all of them has pertained to the Old Testament. None of them has to do with the New Testament. The Old Testament has been nailed to the cross. We're not following it anymore. It is our written for our example, for our learning, but we don't live under the Old Testament. So you cannot do that. If you use that, brethren, you might as well say that the denominational people are right when they say, "I can use Psalm 150 to use instruments of music in worship." You might as well go along with that too. But we don't have any scriptural authority. If hand clapping is authorized by such, then everything else in the Old Testament is also. That is, animal sacrifice. You might as well go to that now. Polygamy, burning incense, instrument of music as well. And I don't know of any men today in the Lord's church that travel to Jerusalem 3 times a year like the men did in the Old Testament for those 3 annual festivals. I don't know anyone that do it today. No one does that today. Not burning incense either. So if you're going to do one, you need to do all of them. Remember what Paul said and James says? If you keep part of the law, you're going to have to keep all the law. And no one does that today. So these scriptures don't justify that. And there's no difference in hand clapping and saying amen. That's another one they'll say. They say, look, if you say amen, you can clap your hands too. Well, amen means so be it. And it's given approval and agreement with what has been said. Now, I ain't got many amens here, but I don't need them. No one's up know I'm preaching the truth. That's all that counts. Well, amen just simply means I agree with what you're saying. And sometimes my brethren go too far with amens. I done it myself before. And sometimes preachers trap them sometimes. I just talked to the devil last night. Me and him are friends. Amen. They ain't keeping up what's going on. They're so used to saying it, they don't pay attention to what's being said. But 1 Corinthians 14:16 talks about amen there. Clapping hands is to show approval or a personal preference. Games, movies, singers, whatever it may be. Amen is mean I agree with saying. And I put Psalm 150 because I read that earlier. And that talks about praising the Lord. This psalm is part of the Old Testament which was nailed to the cross. We don't live by it today. We don't follow it. We follow what the New Testament says. These scriptures you see on here, Ephesians 2:15. Colossians 2:14, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 through 25, and chapter 5 and verse 4 are telling us we don't live by the Old Testament anymore. If you follow the Old Testament, you're falling from grace, is what Galatians 5 and 4 says, making it seem like the death of Christ on the cross was a waste of time. And we know no one would like to say that. So we don't live under that today. So those who attempt to justify hand clapping in worship to God today are likewise falling from grace, just like we tell our denominational friends. And then let me hit this last part. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Worship must be authorized by God's word. If not authorized, it cannot be approved. Hand clapping and worship for baptism or sermon remarks, such as brethren are doing today, is unscriptural. In our worship, God tells us, let all things be done in decent order. They're not in decent order. They are out of order. They have no scriptural authority for what they're doing. Let us seek to always worship God in spirit and in truth, according to John 4 in verse 24. And when it comes to applause and worship, is there a God-given command? Nope. Is such approved by divine law? Nope. Is it the same as saying amen? No, it's not. No, it's not. Is God who receives the praise, does he receive it when they do it? Nope. So let us make sure we understand what God's word teaches concerning clapping their hands. You can clap your hands at home all you want to, or sporting events, but not when it comes to worshiping God when we come together to serve. Thank you.